Love me a good round of applause coming from my live in studio audience. Oh, another one. Another one. Stay kind. Thank you. Welcome in to Ball Boy Talk, the Unhinged Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Jay, and today we're jumping into another episode or another featured Dynasty Down Under featuring the Bluey Ballers. Thanks for joining and following along with 12 Bandits, who are NBA junkies, fantasy sports junkies, and dads who are here for a good time, and since it's a Dynasty League, a long time as well. This week on the podcast, a Christmas special. This episode coming out Christmas Eve, so Merry Christmas to all who celebrate, and Happy Holidays to everybody else. This week, we're going to be talking about the last 2 weeks, because last week, we didn't actually have an episode, and we're currently in week 9. I want to say in the league, we are in week 9. That's correct. So, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. Thanks for joining. You are much appreciated. And today on the podcast, we're going to talk about our weekly recap featuring some scoring updates. I'm going to give you guys our current standings and then jump into one trade that happened in our league, a bunch of NBA news that's been going on the last couple weeks, and then a special trade rumors feature, some free agency things that have happened, and then some mailbags. So, buckle up. Merry Christmas. I hope y'all have just a great day, had a great day, are having a great day. And yeah, let's do it. So, first segment today is we're going to talk about our weekly, our league, kind of where we're at, where our standings are. And yes, I'm going to use my phone for this, because Sleeper is much more mobile friendly than it is friendly for everything else. So, week 9, I won Fox and Ferriance. I improved to 4-5 over All Balls No Bite, who was 5-3. The Puzini Dynasty smoked Discount Presti. The Puzini Dynasty improves to 5-4 over Discount Presti, who will fall to 2-7. Team Poppin' with Tebow also put up an impressive win over Team Mitchman, and he improves to 8-1, and Mitchman will improve to 6-3. To Infinity Win Beyond improves to 6-3 over Magic Claws. And then Ossar's Dad Rules improves to 5-4, and the Grannies fall to 0-9. Wow, that blue guy improves to 4-5, with Pavola and Popovich falling to 4-5. So, as you can see, the standings are very tight. Lots of 4s and 5s, 5s and 4s, kind of all over the place, up and down, left, right, side to side. It's a very tight, competitive league. So we love that. That's what we want in Dynasty. And it looks good right now. Our playoffs are going to start in week 18. So we're halfway to the playoffs after this week. So we're in the second half of our regular season after this week, which is crazy to think that the season is just flying by like that. But that's super, super fun. I have 4 players who are coming off the IR, so I have some tough choices to make this coming week. Including in that is going to be Malik Monk, Lonnie Walker, DeAndre Hunter, and LaMelo Ball. So I'm excited. I like when there's a challenge for roster cuts and whatnot. I would assume a lot of rosters are going to look pretty good come Christmas Day. But yeah, second half of the season is on the horizon. We made some scoring changes mid-season about 2 weeks ago going into week 8. And our turnovers went from a full point to half point. Triple-doubles went from 2 to 5. Points scored went from half point to a full point. Double-doubles went from 1 point to 3 points. 20-plus rebound games went from 0 to 2. 50-point bonus went from 2 to 3, and 15 plus assists went from 0 to 2. So, some changes. We're all really liking them. No complaints. I gave everyone, as a commissioner, a couple mulligans, if you will. If they wanted to use them, they didn't have to use them on guys who they thought, okay, maybe this will be a better game, maybe this won't. New scoring, don't know how it works, so just a couple mulligans to keep things interesting. We had one trade this last week. I actually traded for DeAndre Ayton, and I traded away Michael Porter Jr. I'm happy with it. I thought it was pretty even. I'd much rather have DeAndre Ayton over Michael Porter Jr. More consistent, more opportunity. Has that deal in place in Portland. building block there. So I really like it. But outside of that, that's all that's going on in our league. Nothing crazy this last couple weeks. No big trades, no AI trade examiners, nothing like that. So with that, let's jump over to the news because there is a lot of news. So tons of news. First, this is a piece of good news. We have two relocation kind of things looking at it. So the Thunder held a vote this last week that with the city of Oklahoma about getting a new arena, signing a new lease, building something better to keep the team in the area until 2050. Guess what? That vote passed at 71%, and we are all here for it. 71% of the vote, new $900 million arena by 2029. Of course, it's going to have an area around it, community. That's what a lot of arenas are doing and stadiums are doing now, where they develop the surrounding area just to really boost the economy right around the stadium and really give it just a lot of draw and appeal. The Wizards could also be moving to a new shared site with the Capitals as well, hockey, I believe, from D.C. to Virginia, and a $2 billion proposal that includes the surrounding area and the stadium itself, arena itself as well. So that's for 2028. I don't believe that has been voted on by local legislation to approve that. The biggest piece of news, probably the one I have the most notes on, Draymond Green. He was suspended indefinitely after yet another egregious hit. If it was the 90s, be totally cool with it. 2023, the NBA needs a villain. There's no one better than Draymond Green to be this villain. Draymond Green's a phenomenal player on the court. He's a defensive menace. There's not many that do it better than him, but we can't keep seeing injuries and potential injuries to Gobert, Nurkic, and all these other bigs. Just out of frustration and letting the emotions get the best of you professionals. But again, Draymond, I just want to see Draymond back on the floor. I'm a Warriors fan. He's the heart and soul of that team. But some interesting stats. Most interesting is Klay has been playing the best he has all season without him on the floor. That's the first part that's really interesting to me. He's been playing really well. The team has been playing really well. We've seen other guys step up. TJD, Kuminga, Podzemski. Just all these guys are really stepping up and showing up now for the Dubs. We love that. But to kind of wrap up what I was saying about Draymond, he is undergoing counseling, treatment, and he's out until he passes the NBA and the Warriors' return to play expectations and standards that they're setting for him. So it's supposed to be at least 3 weeks. I believe we're in the just finished the first full week of the suspension and the treatment that he's receiving. So we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, Jonathan Kuminga, TJD are great pickups in your dynasty leagues if they are available. I already had Jonathan Kuminga, and I'm really happy with the share. The Warriors GM, and this will lead me into two things here. The Warriors GM, after the suspension happened, he said the bigger impact will be how we do over the next 15 to 20 games. That'll determine where we go more than this specific incident, which, as you know, if you're a Warriors fan or if you watch basketball, the Warriors have not been great at all. Currently, after tonight's game, I'm recording this the night of the 23rd to release Christmas Eve. They play Christmas Day against Denver. Course, but they are 15-14, so they're just about 500. Currently, if you look in the standings, they are the 10th seed in the West, just a half a game ahead of Phoenix, 3 games ahead of Utah, 5 games ahead of Memphis, and 7 games ahead of Portland, and 11 games ahead of San Antonio. However, they're kind of right there too. They're half a game behind the Lakers, a game behind Houston, a game and a half behind the Pelicans, and 2 games behind the Clippers and the Mavericks, and 2.5 behind the Kings. So they're right there in the mix, right where they need to be. Ideally, they probably want to get up to that 6th seed and stay between that 4 and 6, which I definitely think this team's on paper better than Dallas and better than the Clippers. I definitely think they're better than LA. I definitely think they're better than Houston. I definitely think they're better than the Pelicans. Houston, actually, I think, could push themselves up to the five if they keep going. That team, we're going to talk about that team throughout this year, but you probably haven't stopped hearing Houston, Houston, Houston. They are so good. They are so freaking talented. It's crazy. But the top four, I think, are going to be the top four. The Timberwolves, the Nuggets, the Thunder, and the Kings. Those are your top four teams in the West, barring catastrophic catastrophes are going to happen. So I really love that. The Warriors are right where they should be. But since the suspension, the Warriors are 5-1. Make of it what you will. Whatever isn't always causation. Whatever, I don't know what I'm saying right now. This is sports. But it may be unrelated. It's likely related. They're 5-1. They're really handing the keys to some rookies, second-year guys. They're really working that rotation, seeing who is the best product on the floor and riding that best product on the floor. They're on a 5-game winning streak now. So we love to see it. Steph looks great. Klay looks great. The team overall just looks great. And that's what we want. So they have about 10 to 15 more games, likely without Dre. And it's really going to depend on what direction this Warriors team go. If they can go 12-3, who is to say they don't cut ties with Draymond? It's hard to say they don't do it and they use him as a trade piece to bring in an OG Anunoby or to go and get an Isaiah Stewart or to go and ship him off to the Pistons to kick some of their young, highly talented players, trade them to the Kings to get Keegan Murray, trade them in an OG Anunoby deal, trade them in a Pascal Siakam deal, trade them for Lauri Markkanen. Like, there's plenty of guys out there that they could deal him for and really improve this team and help take it back to that championship level. Trade him and Wiggins. You can get dang near anybody because you have the salary flexibility to do so. Then you come in under the cap. A couple of really interesting quotes from around the NBA on the Draymond situation as a whole. Shaq said, "I hate that y'all put that narrative on him. The man doesn't need counseling. He doesn't need anything on the court or off the court. He's off the court. He's a solid human being. He's a good man." So Shaq's got his back. I mean, Shaq played in that era of you ball hard, you ball physical. He's all for it. Gobert, one of the incidents happened to him. Gobert said, "I have empathy for him. You see somebody that is not well inside and suffering. You take away the game and all that, and you want somebody to be well and be able to do what we do every night and compete and be happy." So Draymond hasn't looked happy since he punched Jordan Poole in the face. Luckily, during that game 2 nights ago when the Warriors played the Wizards and won, there was all love with Jordan Poole. Again, it's a business. These players understand that they get it. My next piece of news here is Zion's contract. His rookie scale extension is no longer fully guaranteed. After missing time and playing in only 29 or not all as many games as he needed to this year. There's been 29 games. He hasn't played in all of them. Or played in nearly enough to meet the injury protections that granted the Pelicans the ability to no longer guarantee it. However, he can get these years playing triggers and passing weigh-ins. That's the kicker that I am really glad is in that contract, because dude is not in shape. Yes, he can still get up. Yes, he's an NBA athlete. Yes, he's more athletic than me. But Zion, I think he's playing at the heaviest weight of his career. He does not look healthy. He does not look fit. He looks big and slow and unathletic and unexplosive on the court. Zion coming into the NBA was big, muscular, explosive. You can't slow this guy down. He can shoot. He can jump. He can jump over you. He can body you. He can post you up. He's an undersized four, but he's got the size. He's got the strength. He's got the leaping ability. You can't hold him back. Doesn't look like that anymore. He looks really bad and out of shape. And I want him to be healthy because he's such a great player when he's healthy. speaking of players, are specific teams who you just want to possibly see do better. Piston fans, I'm so sorry. Your team sucks. 26 losses in a row with no end in sight. Projected to go 6-76 on the season, if not 5-77 at this point right now after that 26th loss in a row. The other night, after that 25th loss in a row, sell the team chants were erupting in the arena. Makes sense. And then Cade Cunningham, I get where he's coming from. He's frustrated. He's fed up. He sees his team day in, day out, practicing, grinding, trying, doing all the things they can do. They're just getting outplayed. They're not there. They're young. They're inexperienced. He is the most vocal leader on this team, and he's a third-year player. Some third-year players can be that guy. Cade may not be that guy. Stewart may not be that guy. They have Bogdanović. He may not be that guy. They don't have that guy. I'm sorry. They don't have that guy to run this team, to be that vocal leader, that true leadership kind of guy on and off the court. He said after that 25th loss in a row, we're not 2-26 bad. No way. Cade, be quiet. Be quiet. I'm sorry. This is an Unhinged Sports podcast, but Cade Cunningham, please, you are a great player for your career. Hope that the Pistons trade you. Hope that they trade you and give you an opportunity to go and ball somewhere else. For every significantly talented young player on this team, Ivy, Cade, Duran, Stewart, I hope so much better for you guys than where you're currently at. I hope you're part of trade packages to bring in vets to maybe win 20 games this year. I hope for your sake you're traded to an opportunity where you can actually shine and become a star. Because it's not going to happen right now in Detroit. With this organization, it's awful to the absolute core. It's not your guys' fault. You guys are drafted here and signed a contract because you had to, because that was the next step in your career. That's where the money spoke. It's business. I just hope for your sakes that y'all get out. Y'all can get out. Don't sign your rookie scale extensions. Go and take a 1 or 2 year deal for less. Ball out and get another max extension. Y'all are talented enough. Cade, you're talented enough. Ivy's talented enough. Durant's talented enough. Stewart's talented enough. This team has talent. Monty Williams, I don't think you can fix this team like you fix the Suns because you don't have a Devin Booker and a DeAndre Ayton. You don't already have these established pieces in place that were already winning 20 to 30 games and just needed a great coach to take them over the edge. Monty Williams ain't the guy for a rebuild. He's a team for on the other going up downhill from the uphill battle to get to the pinnacle of a rebuild. You guys aren't there yet. I'm sorry, but Piston fans, hopefully they sell the team. Hopefully the owner's on the Epstein list or something. We just got to hope. Anyways, that's enough talk about the Pistons. Ja Morant, he's back. He's balling. He's still great. Didn't miss a beat. He's still good. Really good. He looks well. He looks good. He looks great. Dame hit 20,000 points, career points. Great for him. We love that for him. The Cavs and Ricky Rubio are discussing a potential parting of ways amid doubts about Rubio resuming an NBA career. Dude's been going through it, taking some time off for mental health reasons. I hope that he gets better. I hope he returns to play because he is a truly phenomenal point guard. I would love to see him back on a contender like Heat, like the Celtics as a bench piece. I would love to see him back with a true contender after he's bought out and he goes, gets well, and he comes back. I would love to see it. I think he would be great backing up in OKC. I think he would be great backing up in Minnesota again. I think he would be great in a lot of places. So, Ricky Rubio, get better. Get great. Chance Camacho, an ex-G League player from the Stockton Kings. He's currently facing charges for a murder with a 23-year-old woman in Vegas. That's all the details that I was able to find. Again, he's an ex-G League player, so he's no longer affiliated with the league. Of course, with this affiliation come some intense things. But I hope that the family of this young woman, the justice is served properly. Camacho, I didn't get a chance to look up any of his highlight type or look at anything. If he was talented, your career is over, young man. I'm really sorry. Hope you get the help that you need, and I wish you well. Speaking of the NBA in-season tournament, the only gripe after the Lakers won was, why would you hang a banner? That's my only gripe. Don't hang a banner for an in-season tournament. So dumb. But a couple of things make change from the in-season tournament. It's not going anywhere. It was a huge success. It's likely a guaranteed playoff spot for the winner of the tournament, which I think is a double-edged sword. I think the winner of the tournament is obviously going to be a playoff contender, but I think this could end really bad because let's say the Spurs were to win the in-season tournament this next year, but they're still a bottom feeder team, but yeah, now they're guaranteed a playoff spot and their first round exit when that playoff spot should have gone to, the 9-10 best team in the West. I don't get it. I don't love it, but if it happens, it happens. The players didn't like the point differentials in the tournament being used as fuel, but I think it kept things close. I think it made them score, it made them play, it made them made offense happen, and what you want for a tournament, you want the offense. We're actually going to, am I going to put that, is that in the mailbag? I don't think that's in the mailbag. This is just one thing I wanted to bring up. It was a tweet today before I get down to the trade rumors. Bron's recent tweet, why do players have to be retired before going into the Hall of Fame? Coaches get in while coaching, rightfully so. Wondering what's the difference, though? And he gave one of those like monocle, like eyeglass little emojis. Because LeBron, if you had a great 10-year run, but then you suck for the next seven, like really, really bad, why would you get elected when out of your 17 years, you were really bad for seven, you were really good for 10, or maybe that seven came in bits and pieces? It needs to be a whole kind of picture thing. LeBron, yes, absolutely, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame. But a fringe Hall of Famer, like CP3, he's going into the Hall. Steph, Hall. KD, Hall. These guys are all going to go into the Hall. And maybe it's a longevity thing. Maybe it's like once you get to your 15+, then you get consideration for the Hall based on your merits through the first 15 years of your career. Or unless you're a late bloomer, what if the first five were really bad, but then you were able to play a total of 16 years? So you had 11 really good ones, your first five are really bad, then there can be some recency bias. The whole picture needs to be looked at as a whole. Your career, who you are, I think the time frame needs to be shorter to get from active playing to the Hall, maybe 1 to 3 years. I think that's something that baseball does really bad, is making these guys wait for so long to get into the Hall of Fame. Because then things happen, changes made, disease and everything sits in. Maybe they never see the Hall of Fame. Maybe there something happens. God willing, they're able to be there, but maybe something happens domestically or anything like that. They could always be removed after being in, but I don't think they should have to wait that long. I think it should be, if a player for sure knows he's going to be retiring, let's say LeBron said this is my last year, then he should be able to be considered for the Hall of Fame post that season or per that next class, as long as his paperwork to retire actually signs. Make the waiting gap smaller. Once you have filed that retirement, and if you are elected to the Hall of Fame, you cannot unretire. You have to stay retired. So just keeping that in mind. That's my thoughts on it, but maybe y'all have different thoughts. Y'all can let me know in the mailbag. So let's get into trade rumors because there's a lot, and I want to give these each some time. Actually, I'm going to hit free agency real quick, and then I'll hit trade rumors. Maybe not. All right, so imagine there was a transition sound there. It didn't transition like I like, but anyways, free agency. The T-Wolves signed Lance Stephenson to their G League affiliate. The Pacers signed James Johnson. The Knicks signed Taj Gibson. I actually saw him playing today. Good to see Taj on the court still getting after it. The Grizzlies parted ways with Kenneth Lofton Jr. He actually signed with the 76ers today. So he was the casualty of Morant returning. And then Austin Rivers and John Wall both hosted a workout in Orlando a few days ago for about 10 to 15 teams. I really think either of these guys would look really good on the T-Wolves on the bench coming for him. They could stretch the bench for the Celtics as well. I think there's some really solid options out there in the free agent market to help improve some benches, as well as the buyout market, of course, is always a strong one for some of the teams who are pushing the cap and didn't make a lot of moves at the deadline. So, trade rumors. Okay, that's my transition. There are tons of rumors. Obviously, the biggest one is the Zach LaVine saga. Not a sweepstakes. I read today that there isn't a big market for Zach LaVine and that there are no sweepstakes, according to NBA insiders. The Bulls have tried trading him to Cleveland for Darius Garland. Obviously, that hasn't worked out. He has said he's open to a trade to Sacramento and the Lakers. But my favorite landing spot for Zach LaVine, honestly, is the 76ers. They've emerged as a fit, and I really like it a lot. I don't know why, it just makes sense. You have Maxey running the point, LaVine at the two, and B down low. You fill in the three and the four with the guys they have right now, Tobias, and don't ask me who their three is. I can't think off the top of my head right now, but I like LaVine. They have the money. They have the expiring contracts to flip. I really think there's a good potential outlet here for LaVine with the Sixers. I really like the fit. They're also interested in OG Anunoby. Everyone wants Anunoby because it's OG Anunoby. He's a baller, certified baller. So the Jazz actually have gotten picked up in a lot of rumors as of recently. The Jazz and the Raptors and the Bulls are probably the three teams to keep the closest look on or watch on as the trade deadline approaches in February. Right now, the Jazz are 12-18, 11 games out of the playoffs, 4 games out of the play-in tournament in total. The Jazz, the Raptors. Toronto's actually 11-18. They're a game out of the play-in. Chicago's actually at the 10th seed right now. 10.5. They're actually tied for 10th with Atlanta. I think they hold a tiebreaker there because of a game. But I would imagine Atlanta's going to get in. Brooklyn's going to fall. Indy's going to move up. Orlando's at 17-11. They started strong, but I think they're going to cool off. And Indy's going to move up with Halley. So those are my three teams to keep an eye on. I would also really keep an eye on San Antonio. I would keep an eye on Portland. And I would keep an eye on Memphis. Yes, they're not too far out of it right now. Memphis is probably the closest to the playoffs out of everyone. Phoenix, as well. Really keep your eyes on Detroit and the Wizards as well as possible sellers. We know that Boston has expressed clear interest that they want to add to their bench. They're happy with their starting core, but they want to lengthen their bench. Milwaukee should also be in that same boat for lengthening their bench. As should the Sixers. Orlando needs a big star to go with Banchero. They don't have it. They absolutely need it to go with Franz and Banchero. So watch out for them to swing and make a move for someone that may not be on anyone's radar, honestly. Minnesota, they desperately need to lengthen that bench. The five is great with Conley, Ant, Towns, McDaniels, Gobert, but they need bench help bad. They need to extend their bench, but there's pieces out there that I think would work really well. Denver, they're solid up and down. OKC has the pieces. They just need to keep playing well, keep growing, keep learning, keep developing. Maybe bring in a vet or two to lengthen the bench, as well as some sharp shooting. So those are your top contenders, kind of what I'm thinking each team may need. But the Jazz, John Collins, Lauri Markkanen, Jordan Clarkson could all be available via trade. Collins has publicly vented his frustration with how he's taken to the system, and then Utah put him on the trade block. So he's out there. I think he would be a phenomenal fit, and I'm thinking contenders who are going to try to trade and swing some of these trades. So John Collins, I would really like to see him. Let me pull up my list. I think the Sixers could be a good fit. And the Timberwolves would be a great fit. They could really use that coming off the bench in the second unit. And I think Miami would also benefit from a John Collins. Lauri Markkanen, he doesn't want to be traded. Since his injury, other guys stepped up and showed that he is expendable. But the Jazz may want a similar pick or a similar package they got from Mitchell and Gobert for Markkanen, which likely will not happen, which was five-ish picks, including multiple first-rounders. I don't see it happening. But Sacramento, Atlanta, and OKC could all be fits for him. I love those three destinations as potential. I love Sacramento getting a sharpshooter on the wing, a big sharpshooter on the wing. I love it for Atlanta. And I love it for OKC. I think OKC is the perfect fit. They got the draft picks. OKC can literally go and get anyone they want, whenever they want, because they have so much draft capital. They have plenty of young talent. And they have plenty of depth that's expendable. I think Markkanen would be a no-brainer fit for OKC. Let's see. Jordan Clarkson also available. I would love a fit with the Celtics. They need to lengthen their bench. Jordan Clarkson, an established sixth man. I could see him just sliding right in and balling out there. The Raptors, another team to keep an eye on outside of the Bulls, outside of the Jazz, the Raptors, and who else? The Raptors, and I just had it. I lost it. But they're looking to flip Pascal Siakam and or OG Anunoby. They're both being connected to the Kings and Keegan Murray and picks in a potential deal. I would love the fit for Pascal Siakam and or OG Anunoby with the Warriors. I think this would give them the life. You trade Draymond, you trade Wiggins, you trade a 2025 first. You maybe have to throw in Moody as well. You get that deal done. You bring in Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby. You are now running a great squad out there. Game in, game out. Consistent, defensive-minded Anunoby. Siakam's great defensively as well. I really, really like it. Cleveland is also a team, that's what I was thinking, to also keep an eye on as far as trades go, because it could go down. They're struggling. They're slowly falling out of the race because more and more injuries keep piling up, and it's not looking good. However, with the Bulls, let's focus on the Bulls, and then we'll move to the Cavs. The Bulls could also move DeRozan, Caruso, and other pieces on their team right now. Right now, they're eyeing win-now players on the market. They're looking for players that can help them win now and maybe a pick down the line if they can add that to their cupboard. So, I like it. I don't like it. If you're going to trade your big three of DeRozan, LaVine, and Caruso, then you need to get picks and you need to get younger. You don't need to get win-now. You need to get younger players with the upside who can help you win games, maybe this year a couple, but more so next year and a couple years down the line, in addition to those picks. Sell right now for the right matches. Caruso has been heavily linked to the Lakers. LaVine's been linked to the Lakers. They think everyone in the industry thinks it's a done deal. I don't think LaVine's going to the Lakers. I really don't. I don't see a move to the Lakers. I think if they really wanted to, they would have done it by now. If they were aggressive, but they have really rounded into shape. They looked really good. ADs look good. LeBron's look great. So I don't think they need it. D'Angelo Russell's been moved to the bench, actually. So it's an interesting time, but they're playing with it and they're making it work. DeRozan has came out and said he prefers a connection to the Knicks or trade to the Knicks or the Heat. I think both are a great fit for him. The Knicks need dudes. And the Heat need help for Jimmy and Bam. They need someone else, and I think DeRozan would be a great fit. So speaking of Cleveland a moment ago, they are saying that they're not going to trade him, that he's the heart and soul of their team. They're going to extend him. They haven't extended him yet, but it could come to an end. The Heat are keeping a really close eye on this situation with Donovan Mitchell. I think you put Mitchell, Butler, and Bam together on the floor with Hero. Hero's probably going to go back in the trade. But Cleveland, man, they could, if they can get the Heat, if Mitchell goes to the Heat, I think that's just a move. The Cavs are also getting interest in Jarrett Allen, big man who's been looking real good lately, kind of showing out for a trade. He likely wants to ball out to get out. Ball out, get out kind of thing. The Pelicans have been showing heavy interest. I love the fit here. They need an established big. They don't have that right now, especially with Zion, big Zion, not being the kind of big they want. Jarrett Allen, great fit for the Pelicans. Mobley and Garland are both out multiple weeks to injuries, so the injuries keep piling up. Rubio's still out. A week ago or so, a leak source said, I have no idea what the hell is going on there, but it ain't good in relation to the Cavs. So it's really bad in Cleveland. It's bad, it's bad, it's bad. So keep your eye on Cleveland. Mitchell to the Heat. I think Allen to the Pels. These are great moves. Keep your eyes here because something's going to go down in Cleveland and it's going to rock some waters around the rest of the league. I went on a little rant about the Pistons, but please, Pistons, do anything right for once this year and trade these young players and try again. Or sell the team or something, or just bring in new operations guys, bring in different coach. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'll come and coach for you and maybe get something out of this team. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's not it right now. Isaiah Stewart is getting linked in multiple trades. I would love Isaiah Stewart to get an opportunity. Boston would be a solid fit. OKC would be great for Isaiah Stewart. They could use another big next to Chet to let him play the four. Dallas, I don't love the fit for Dallas. They have Jones. They have Lively. I don't know if I love the fit for Isaiah Stewart, but if it gets him out of Detroit, then more power to you. The Knicks are another team to watch as buyers. The Knicks are a very interesting buyer team. RJ Barrett has turned into him. Jalen Brunson, him. The Knicks are 16-12, 6 games out of first place in the East. They're the number 6 seed right now. They're clinging on to that, floating between the 6 and 7 seed. They could go as high as jump up to 4 with an Orlando and a Miami loss. So they're right there between 4 and 7, which is a great place to be in the East. Woj quoted, "The Knicks have been preparing themselves with draft assets and development of young players to make the big trade necessary to move into the elite of the Eastern Conference and NBA. The elite of the East is 4, behind the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics. If you can be right there, that's a place to be." They could very easily move Isaiah Quickley and Evan Fournier in the right scenarios. I think, again, Boston's a great fit for either of those guys if they want to get intertwined. I doubt that they will trade to a direct rival of them with their desire to jump up to the top of the conference. Don't make your opponent stronger by getting weaker because they don't have the assets to go back. But they are eyeing DeJounte Murray from Atlanta. He's the only team I've seen connected here with the Knicks and him. I don't think DeJounte Murray will get moved by the Hawks. That's almost laughable. But OG Anunoby, Quickly, Fournier, maybe a couple picks could get him to the Knicks. I think that would be awesome. That would be a great fit for him too. I think there's a lot of great fits for OG Anunoby with his defensive prowess and the guard opportunity around the league. I really like it. I really, really like it. The Clippers could move some of their expiring veteran depth. I've seen this talked about quite a bit, and I really like it. They have PJ Tucker, whose name is to watch. He's been vocal. The team could look to move him because his role is diminished, so they could be looking to move him off. The Suns, Eric Gordon, saying, "I came here to score points. I came here to ball. I ain't no depth piece. I need more touches. I need to score. I'm a scorer. That's what I do to help my team win." The Suns obviously aren't doing it. They have yet this season, through 30 games, to play their big three. Beal's been hurt. KD's been great. They're 14-14. They need something. They need to shake it up. Booker, KD. KD's getting it done. You can't rely on KD to get it done. They need to get a big. I think Isaiah Stewart would be a great fit. Clint Capella would be a great fit. Go and get y'all a big. Jared Allen would be a great fit here. They need another big. Their big three, it could work, but they need a big. Nurkic is good. He works. They just need something. Their bench is awful. They don't have the talent on the bench to get it done. Grayson Allen has been filling in great. I love Grayson Allen. I think he's a baller. They just don't got it. They need that big three. They rely too heavily on it. They're bought into it. But it still hasn't happened through nearly 30 games. The Hawks, in addition to the DeJounte Murray rumors, they honestly could be looking to move a DeAndre Hunter and a Clint Capella in trades to possibly bring in, I don't know, a Siakam, a Anunoby, to strengthen this team in these other areas by kind of trimming some of the fat. And then giving more opportunity to like an Onyeka Okongwu, guys who are younger, who have more team-friendly deals and capital to help with this situation, who are honestly better. I like Onyeka Okongwu a lot better than I like Clint Capella. I'll tell you that. There's a reason they got rid of John Collins. They're trying to find that front court kind of depth. So I really like the Hawks. DeAndre Hunter, I think, would be a great fit for the Celtics. Really good shooter. Great scorer, offensive minded, can play some good defense. I like him in a lot of situations. This one's interesting. This one I found popped up today. The Wizards, they're rebuilding. Obviously, they're led by the Poole Kuzma combo. But if they are to trade Kuzma, he has not an awful contract. But Kuzma, they could get multiple first round picks for Kyle Kuzma. They've been whiffing on picks. Their picks have not been great in recent years. But Kuzma, I don't know. You could really get some great value. Kuzma, he could get traded back to the Lakers that have been traded since the LeBron era began. But you put Kuzma back in L.A. with D'Angelo Russell, LeBron, AD. I think Kuzma's a great fit in L.A. That kind of came straight to mind. I think he'd be really good there. So that's all the time we have for rumors. There's lots, there'll be more. We'll keep you updated as trades happen and their dynasty implications. But I would try to go start getting some of these guys now. That's my dynasty advice. If you can go get Zach LaVine because the owner is shaky, like I don't know where he's gonna go, the opportunity, it scares me. Zach LaVine's great, he's a baller. DeRozan, his connections, Heat, Knicks. Go and try to get him. Caruso, wherever he goes, he's going to be successful. Go and get him. Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen, these guys who could get traded. Go and try to trade for them in your dynasty league if you believe that the potential landing spots are ones that are going to give them a better opportunity. I would personally be targeting Isaiah Stewart. I might go and try to make a trade for Isaiah Stewart tonight because of the potential opportunity if a trade is to happen. I really like that idea. These depth guys who can move quickly, Fournier, Tucker, Capella, Hunter, these guys all can move. Keep the pulse on John Wall, Austin Rivers. These guys all can move. So definitely stay sharp. Go start making your trade now. John Collins, Lauri Markkanen, Jordan Clarkson, Keegan Murray, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby. If you truly believe in these guys and you think they're linked to landing spots that I just discussed could be really good ones for them and their opportunity for the rest of their season outlook and then future years outlook, go and try to get your trades in early and get them now, because if they get traded to a baller opportunity with more opportunity, more touches, more this, more that, like Eric Gordon, if he goes to the, I don't know, the Celtics, in a bench role, he's coming off the bench. Him and Jordan Clarkson both end up on the Celtics. In bench roles, those guys are going to be incredibly valuable. You're going to want those guys on your team. So, Lauri Markkanen, same thing. If he goes to OKC, awesome. But then you got to look at the flip side. What's the cost? At what cost? At what fallout? And as these trades continue to come up, I want to look at that fallout for what that fallout may look like for each of these teams. on a trade-by-trade individual basis. So with that, let's jump over into our mailbag. So our mailbag questions are questions from around the league, questions that I've seen, questions that I want to answer, and a couple questions from within our own team chat as well. So one question, who runs the East? Is it the Celtics, the Bucks, or the Sixers? Who is the creme de la creme of the East? I love the Bucks. I think the Bucks go as far as Giannis goes, and Giannis is a perennial MVP. Tatum, perennial MVP, a back-to-back MVP award. So, who is it? I don't know. I'm going to need you guys to let me know, but I personally, I'm biased. I love the Bucks. Our next question. Shaq thinks that Curry should be in the conversation for best player of all time. Do you agree or disagree? You're going to let me know in the comments on this one. If you're on YouTube, go over to YouTube, subscribe, click the bell. That link for the YouTube channel is going to be down in the description. If you're on Spotify or Apple or wherever you're getting your podcast, it's going to be down there. You can get it there. Go over and vote. Let me know. Curry, does he belong in the greatest of all time? Up there with Braun, Jordan, Kobe. Yes, I think he does, but that's my take. I think he absolutely does. One of the most clutch shooters, best shooter in the game, greatest all-time scorer in the game, multiple rings, taking down some of the best teams. With and without KD, he's done it. KD went because of Steph. KD got his ring because of Steph. These guys who've been with Steph, Klay, Green, they're not the leaders of this team is Steph. Who's going to be there when they're all gone? Steph. Who's loyal to a T? Steph. Who's never going to leave this team? Steph. Who's going to win all his rings with this team? Steph. It's Steph. Steph definitely deserves to be up there in that conversation with Braun, Kobe, and Jordan for greatest players of all time. 100% agree. Who wins in a one-on-one? Kevin Durant? Or Joel Embiid? You got two great players here. Durant's a three-level scorer. Probably can't match up well with Embiid inside. A little bit quicker on the edge in the perimeter than Embiid. Embiid's got that shot. He's got the inside game. I think Durant's got more touch, more prowess. He knows how to work guys. He's smarter. Embiid's great. But I think Durant's got the edge here. Give me Durant in a 21. Give me him 21 to 17 in this matchup. And then last question, or second to last question here, how many games does the NBA, the All-NBA and certain tournament team win of Giannis, AD, KD, Tyrese Halliburton, and LeBron James? I think this team easily goes 70 and 12. Easy goes 70 and 12. I don't even care who's on the bench. They're going 70 and 12, no doubt. Because there's a couple reasons this team can actually win 70 games. Possibly even 75, 77, because none of these guys are overly selfish with the ball. Halley's a great ball distributor, also a great scorer. Braun, also a great contributor and scorer. KD, pass it, get it. He all three levels. AD, Giannis, inside? No, thank you. Giannis, unselfish. AD can give it up if he's not having the best night. AD can ball out on the right night and take over too. All these guys can take over in the right situation. All these guys can step back and let someone else take over on their team. If AD's taking over, guess who LeBron is feeding? If Giannis is taking over, guess who his team's feeding? If he's not, if Middleton's taking over, guess who he's feeding? If Booker's taking over, guess who KD's feeding? He's not trying to steal the spotlight. Halliburton, if Hield's balling, he's feeding them. If Turner's balling, he's feeding them. If Hield's balling, he's feeding them. He feeds these guys. He doesn't. None of these guys are selfish players. I easily think they win 70, go 70 and 12. Minimum. And that's my take. Lastly, when is the next time the Pistons win? Great question. Thank you for asking. I don't know. I really don't know the next time the Pistons win. Because let's look at their schedule. They play the Nets, who are better than them. The Celtics, who will crush them. The Raptors, who will also likely crush them. The Rockets, who will crush them. The Jazz, who will keep pace but likely win. The Warriors will crush them. The Nuggets will crush them. The Kings will crush them. The Spurs, the January 10th game against the Spurs, is the next logical answer of when the Pistons might win. So that's in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more, 7 games. So their losing streak will likely get to 30 plus, 33, according to my prediction. They have a chance to beat the Spurs, but then they're going to lose one, at least one to the Rockets. Probably lose one to the Wizards, because the Wizards are a better team than them. The Timberwolves will crush. Bucks crush. Hornets crush. Wizards will probably beat them again. Thunder will crush them. Cavs will beat them. Clippers will beat them. Magic will beat them. Kings will beat them. So that's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They play the Kings, 12. The Trailblazers, 13. Clippers, 14. Lakers, 15. Suns, 16. Pacers, 17. Magic, 18. Knicks, 20. Bulls, 21. Cavs, 22. Magic, 23. Heat, 24. Nets, 25. Mavericks, 26. Hornets, 27. Raptors, 28. Heat, 29. Heat again, 30. Pistons, or Celtics, 31. Pacers, 32. Celtics again, 33. Pelicans, 34. Knicks, 35. Timberwolves, 36. And this is tough, because I really don't think that they can beat these teams. I really don't think that their fourth win, I think I was at 26, 27 games, something like that. So they're going to have another significant losing streak, and then they may win March 29th against the Wizards if they end up making some trades after the deadline. The other teams, I think they all improve at the deadline. Deadline's early February. I can't not see the Magic, the Kings, the Blazers, the Lakers, the Suns, the Clippers, the Pacers, the Magic, the Knicks, the Bulls. Maybe that Bulls game on February 27th, depending on who they trade, that could be a winnable game. But honestly, I don't see this Pistons team as it is right now with how bad it is, winning 4-5 games total this season. And I think those games are as follows. Going back to today, and I am proclaiming this, January 10th against the Spurs, maybe January 15th against the Wizards, maybe January 27th against the Wizards, maybe. I really don't think so, because I don't think they beat the Wizards this year. No, they lost 126-107, so yeah, probably not. So January 10th, Spurs. March 24th, Wizards. March 29th, Wizards. And then maybe April 14th against the Spurs. I see 3 more wins in this team's future. 3. With another 20-plus game losing streak. Multiple trades at the trade deadline just to full-on tank. I said what I said. All right, y'all. Well, that's it. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Dynasty Down Unders, Bluey Ballers Edition. We hope you enjoy our koala bear logo. Make sure you send questions into the mailbag. Make sure you head over to YouTube. It's going to be linked in the description. The YouTube, if you just want to find it randomly, the channel that you're going to go and look for is YouTube. You're going to go to... I have too many windows open. You're going to go to @BallboyTalk. That's what you're going to search for, @BallboyTalk. BallboyTalk, that's where you're going to find it. Over on YouTube, you can find all the stuff I've been putting out over there. The podcast, everything. Probably our most popular area for episode 6 of the podcast. So, we hope you enjoyed. We hope you have a wonderful day. We hope you have a wonderful night. And a Merry Christmas for all who celebrate, and a happy and safe New Year's. Take it easy, y'all, and we'll be back with you next week on Dynasty Down Under.